Remain standing. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Some of you might think that we are skipping the whole first 22 verses, but that is not the case. Today is the introduction to the whole Matthew series, and we're going to look at just one verse today. Matthew 1, verse 23. This is the word of God. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing of your word. We desperately need to hear your word, because it is only by hearing of your word that our faith will grow. Father, there are many things that could distract us. But Father, let us do our best, concentrate to hear your word, for it is only thing that will give us that eternal life, life with God. Father, bless the preaching of your word, bless the people who are hearing of your word. And we pray that you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we begin our journey through the book of Matthew today. In the New Testament, in Jesus Christ, we see all the promises of God being fulfilled. All the shadowy things, all the earthly things, all the temporal things of the Old Testament are being fulfilled and accomplished and consummated into perfect, complete, eternal, and heavenly things in Jesus Christ. Yes, the Old Testament is about the promises that God makes to His people. And we must ask, what has been promised by God? And there are many ways we could answer that question. But we are going to answer it this way. God promised the Messiah and His kingdom. God promised Christ and the kingdom of God, heaven. The salvation from sin, Satan, and this world. The salvation unto eternal life. Salvation unto Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and salvation unto His heavenly kingdom. We will see that reality through this book. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He comes and accomplishes and consummates the kingdom of heaven. He comes and accomplishes His people's salvation, perfect, eternal, and heavenly salvation. And you and I, who are united to Christ, we are active participants of that salvation. What does the book of Matthew teach us? Jesus Christ and salvation, or eternal life in heaven. Thus, we're able to say that the book of Matthew teaches us Jesus Christ and heaven. It is a story of our Lord Jesus Christ. But because the salvation that He accomplishes is your salvation, it is also about you. Who is Jesus Christ? What does He accomplish? And how does He accomplish? Thus, what did He do for you? What has happened to you? And because of what He has accomplished for you, what is now true of you? What kind of person is you in Christ Jesus? What kind of blessings you already possess and enjoy in Jesus Christ? In other words, you will see your heavenly reality that Christ has accomplished for you. We will look at in detail of all of these, but in Matthew, we see Jesus Christ, the true Moses, the better Moses, accomplishing the true Exodus. The exodus from sin. The exodus from this world. The Old Testament exodus was a shadow. It was pointing to the true exodus that Jesus Christ accomplishes. In the Bible, Egypt is used as a symbol of this world, sinful world. In Revelation chapter 11, we see the two witnesses who represent the church. And in verse 8, we read about these two witnesses. It says, "And their body, their dead bodies, will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically or spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt." Well, also their Lord was crucified. Obviously, Jesus was not crucified in Egypt. But here, Egypt is used as a symbol that represents this world, sinful world. The promised land of the Old Testament was also a shadow. It was pointing to the true promised land, which is heaven. Thus, the story of the Exodus from Egypt and entering the land of Canaan, the Old Testament promised land, was pointing to the true Exodus, Exodus from this world and entering heaven. When we studied the book of Exodus, well, at least some of you did with me, we have divided the book into three large sections. The first section of the book of Exodus was about coming out from Egypt. And the second section, God making a covenant with His people. And the rest of the book of Exodus was about building of the tabernacle. We will see the same thing in the book of Matthew. But this time, the God's people are coming out from this world. And the covenant that God makes with His people is perfect and new. And the tabernacle that is being built is the heavenly one. I want you to see Jesus as the true Moses. Do Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, God says to Moses, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Here God promises a prophet like Moses, the Messiah. In Acts chapter 3, Peter speaks of Jesus, and in verse 22, it says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. Thus Peter, saying about Jesus Christ and mentioning that passage, Peter confirms that the prophet like Moses that was promised by God is Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 17, we read about the story of Mount Transfiguration. Matthew 17 verse 2 says, And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And in verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, listen to him. So the prophet like Moses, and God said that his people will listen to him. And here's Jesus Christ. Peter speaks of him as that prophet like Moses, and you hear God the Father from heaven telling the disciples to listen to him. And the birth story of Jesus has a similar background as the birth story of Moses. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1 verse 16. The king of Egypt, he said, when you are helping the Hebrew woman to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Verse 22. The Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, Every son who is born you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. From that background, then Moses is born. And if you go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. So there you have the similar background. Jesus is the true Moses and better Moses. The Moses of the Old Testament was then pointing to this true Moses, which is Jesus Christ. Moses gave water from the rock. Jesus is the rock, and he gives the water that leads to eternal life, the Holy Spirit. Through Moses, God gave manna in the wilderness. Jesus is the true manna, and he gives himself to his people. Through Moses and Aaron, the people of God sacrificed the animals to God for their sins. Jesus is the true high priest, and Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, and he sacrificed himself as the once and for all perfect sacrifice for his people. Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yes, he himself was lifted up on the cross for our sins so that we could live. Moses built the tabernacle. Jesus is the true temple, and we who are his body are the true temple in him. Jesus builds the true tabernacle. John chapter 2, 19 and 21, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ perfectly builds the true temple, true tabernacle of God. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Jesus is the true Moses who leads his people of the true Exodus. He is also, he himself alone is the true Israel. Psalm 80, verse 8. You removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted. In Psalm 80, the Old Testament Israelites, they're called a vine. God, you have removed a vine from Egypt. And you drove out nations. In the land of Canaan, he drove out nations. And God planted that vine. But you know what happened to that vine? It was not the true vine. It gave worthless fruits. Now in John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine. And the true Israel is the church in Jesus Christ." In Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it clearly tells us that true Israelites, true Jew, is not someone who is outwardly, but inwardly. So I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is the representative of all of us who are true Jews. He is true Israel. Thus, we see in him the true Exodus. His life was the true Exodus. He himself goes out from this world and enters the promised land, which is heaven. And in him, united to him, we to Exodus from this world. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Again, this is a story of the transfiguration. On this mountain, Jesus, he transfigured. His face was shining. We read that all. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, this is what we read. "Who appearing in glory." Now, two other men appeared with Jesus Christ when he was transfigured. Moses and Elijah. But in 31, "who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." Now, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus Christ in glory, they were discussing about Jesus' departure. That word departure in Greek is the same word, Exodus. So, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus were speaking of the exodus of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that the true exodus we will see in this person, Jesus Christ. He, exodus. He comes out from this world and enters the promised land. But because we are united to Him, we will do the same in Him. And that is what we are going to see in this book, among many other things. Jesus Christ, if you read the earlier chapters of the book of Matthew, He comes out from Egypt, just like the Old Testament Israelites. Go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So here we see that Jesus himself goes into Egypt and he stays there until Herod dies, and he himself come out from Egypt. He also crosses the Red Sea. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, we learn that the spiritual meaning of the crossing the Red Sea is the baptism. And in chapter 3 in Matthew, we see Jesus Christ getting baptized. And also, the baptism is a picture of judgment, like in the story of Noah's flood. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus says, "But I have a baptism to undergo," speaking of the cross. So you see, crossing the Red Sea, Jesus also does that. He does that on the cross. He dies on the cross. And he resurrects after 3 days. That is exactly what we see in the crossing of the Red Sea. When Israelites, they go underwater, a picture of death, but they come out at the other side, a picture of resurrection. So Jesus Christ himself crosses the Red Sea. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. It tells us that the 40 years of the wilderness life was a test from God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, "He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by the bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." Israelites were tested. God gave manna. Do you remember last Sunday we talked about this a little bit? He gave manna so that they would understand what? That man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And yet, they didn't learn that. They did not understand that. Because their whole focus was about their physical need. But in Matthew, Jesus goes under the same test. Jesus goes through the same test. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" So you could see the test that Jesus goes through is the same test. But Jesus, the true Israel, he passed the test. Whereas the Old Testament Israel completely failed. The Old Testament Exodus began with the observant up with the Passover. The lambs were killed. Well, let us go there and read that section together. Exodus chapter 12. The Old Testament Exodus begins with the Passover. And chapter 12, verse 7. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood. Lambs are killed, and they are to take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And go down to verse 12. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The new Exodus that Jesus Christ accomplishes is the same. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus is our Passover Lamb. And when He dies on that cross, let us go and see what was the background. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 14. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." Understand, Jesus dies on the day of what? Day of preparation for the Passover. What are we talking about when we do that? Preparation. It's the killing of the lamb to prepare for Passover. And that's exactly when Jesus dies, our Passover lamb. Matthew 26. Verse 18. And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciple.'" According to this, the Last Supper was a Passover meal. So, just like the Old Testament Exodus, this new Exodus, the true Exodus, we have our own Passover, which is Jesus Christ. He is our Passover lamb, and he dies. So he receives all the judgment, and God's judgment passes over you and me who have his blood for our sins. Old Testament people of God, when they came out from Egypt, God made a covenant with them. Let's go there. Exodus 24. I'm going to read from verse 6. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself, yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and drank. So there, God is making covenant with his people. And Moses, with the blood, he says, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you. And after that, they go up to mountain and they eat and drink with God. Jesus makes a new covenant with us. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, again, the story is about, is what? The Last Supper. Here, again, God's people, represented by his disciples, eating and drinking with God, Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 26, verse 28, Jesus says, for this is my blood of the covenant. Remember what Moses said? This is the blood of the covenant. Here Jesus says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. So again, we see Jesus Christ, God, in this new Exodus, as people come out from this world, crossing the Red Sea with Christ as he dies on the cross, makes a covenant with his people, the new covenant. And Exodus, the last part of Exodus is about what? Like we said, it is about building the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle was finished, what happened? Let us go to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. This is when the tabernacle is completed. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So you see then, after tabernacle is built, what happens? God comes with glory. Now Jesus, in the New Testament, he finishes the true temple by death and resurrection. And after he was resurrected, and after he was ascended into heaven, completely finished his tabernacle, his church, what do we see? We see the Holy Spirit coming and residing in the church in Acts chapter 2. Same picture. So here you see everything that we saw in the Old Testament Exodus. Coming out from Egypt, yes. Coming out from the world and sin. Making new covenant, yes, making new covenant in Jesus Christ. Building the tabernacle, yes, Jesus builds the true temple, his body, by what? Resurrecting from the dead. Crossing the Red Sea, yes, Jesus on the cross crosses the Red Sea. I want you to understand what is going on. As we study Matthew, I want you to understand, it is story of Jesus Christ as the new Moses, accomplishing the new Exodus. No more shadows, no more types, but the real thing, the true Exodus, true manna, true living water, true temple, true tabernacle. The book of Matthew is the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also your story. Now, this is what I want as we study this book together. I want you to see Jesus Christ and what He accomplishes. But whatever that He accomplishes, you are an active participant of that reality. So remember that it is your story also. It shows you what happened to you. It shows you who you are. You too came out from sin, Satan, and this world. You are led by the true Moses, Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave you the Holy Spirit, the true water. He gave you the true manna Himself. He sacrificed Himself as the Paschal Lamb for you. You too crossed the Red Sea. We too observe the Passover. You and I, we are the members of the new covenant. And you and I, we too live a life of wilderness. In the Old Testament, God was with His people in the tabernacle. The picture, as they marched towards the promised land, God was with them. But where can you see that? That God was with them. In the tabernacle, in the middle, as they surround that tabernacle as they march towards the promised land. You and I also marching towards the promised land. And we live a life of wilderness in this world. But where is our tabernacle? Where is our God? Jesus is the true tabernacle. And like the verse we read in the beginning, He is Immanuel God, meaning God with us. God lives in us, in our wilderness life, because we are the true tabernacle in Jesus Christ. So in the wilderness life that we live right now, God is also with us, but in more perfect form. Well, completely perfect form. That He is truly with us. He lives in each one of us. We too are headed to the true promised land, heaven. But this time, unlike the Old Testament, we are already there spiritually. I want you to understand, unlike the Old Testament people who came out from Egypt but did not arrive at the promised land, only 2 out of 600,000 men entered the promised land. All died in the wilderness. They didn't make it. It's their sons and daughters who entered. But because of the new covenant that Christ accomplishes. Your arrival at the promised land is guaranteed. You will not fall short. You will not die in the wilderness. You will arrive. Because unlike Moses, who didn't enter the promised land, this true Moses, our Lord Jesus Christ, has entered the true promised land. And because we are united to Him, we are there already. We already arrived. We are already seated in the heavenly places with our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, endure just a bit longer, and you will see with your own eyes how you are already arrived there. You will see it. But until that time, you need to drink of the true water, and you need to eat of the true manna. In this wilderness life, I want you to see how God provides this. And I know some of you, life is hard. Yes, wilderness life is hard. But understand, without the Word, you'll die in the wilderness. I want you to understand how important this Word is. So please, brothers and sisters, prepare. When Saturday comes, prepare. So that when you come here and listen to this word, that you will not be distracted because you're sleepy, because you're tired, for whatever reason, because if you don't eat the true manna, you'll die in the wilderness. I don't think you understand how urgently you need this. It's like those Israelites just doesn't know. They just don't get it. They even complain about manna. And teach your children how important it is for them to eat of true manna. Show them that it is so important to you, so that they will know how important it is to them. Brothers and sisters, you come here to worship God and hear of His Word. Focus. Or your spiritual life will suffer. There's no magic formula, brothers and sisters. This word is the only thing. So let us help each other, help one another, so that we are able to eat this true manna when God provides. Let's really help one another. Understand what is going on. your exodus. So God says to Moses, fasten your belt and do not even sit down. Get ready to go out as you eat this Passover. That's the kind of life we're living, brothers and sisters. No time to relax in this world. It's Exodus. We're going out. We're going towards our eternal home. And I don't want any of you to get behind. I don't want any of you to stay behind. That will be tragic. Look at your Lord Jesus Christ, who is leading you, urging you in this new Exodus, providing everything that you need to endure in this life of wilderness. Let us follow Him. Let us have our focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. It's urgent. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You have already shown us how sinners are when You caused the first Exodus. Sinners just don't know what is truly going on. They even want to go back. They're looking for earthly manna, complaining, being very lazy. But Father, in this true Exodus, Your people, us, let us be very clear what is happening. And let us be very clear what is our purpose in our life of wilderness. Let us never lose our focus on that promised land and the new Moses, our Lord Jesus Christ. They will not look left or right, but we'll have our focus on Jesus and follow Him. Follow Him in this new, true Exodus to the true promised land, our eternal home. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.